Psalm 103, and we'll read the whole chapter. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Today is Remembrance Sunday, and we've already spent some time remembering the many millions of people who have lost their lives or suffered in other ways as a result of war. We also reflected with the children about how important it was for the children of Israel to remember what God had done for them and how their most important goal in life was to love him with all their heart, soul, and mind. This was so important that they literally bound the commandments to their heads and close to their hearts. And as Christians, remembering is vitally important too. Towards the end of our worship, we'll move into a time of communion, and we will do so because Jesus has commanded us to do this in remembrance of him. And so I'll say a bit more about that aspect of our worship at that time. The Bible in the Old Testament and the New puts so much emphasis on remembering because as human beings, we are sometimes not very good at it. According to a researcher, these are the things that we most often forget. 83% of us forget names, 60% where something is, 57% telephone numbers, 53% words, 49% what was said, 42% faces, and 38% whether or not you've just done something. I can identify with all of those, so it is something that's a common human trait, is forgetfulness and not remembering things that we want to remember. Remembering is really important because it's the way that we learn, and it keeps us from having to learn the same things over and over again. It's also important because it affects our mood and our general outlook on life, the things that we remember. Richard Toll says, memory is a powerful factor in the quality of our current experience. It has the power to turn on all kinds of emotion. If you recall an offence and think about it for a while, you can make yourself sick with anger. If you recall a particularly joyous experience from the past, you can relive that experience and live in some of its joy once more. So the things that we remember affect our mood and our kind of general demeanor. And sometimes we don't appreciate how important remembering things is until our memories start to fail. There's a story about two elderly ladies who'd been friends since their 30s, but in their 80s they still got together a couple of times a week to play cards. One day they were playing gin rummy, and one of them said, "You know, we've been friends for many years, and please don't get mad, but for the life of me, I can't remember your name. Please tell me what it is." Her friend glared at her. She continued to glare and stare at her for at least 3 minutes, and then finally she said, "How soon do you need to know?" And it's a funny story, but it has a kind of serious edge to it, because remembering is a fundamental part of being a human being. And when it starts to go wrong, as it does for many people as they get older, it can be very distressing for us and for those around us. And I think it shows us the importance of not taking for granted our capacity to remember things, and our responsibility to use it well when we have it. What I would like us to focus on this morning is that we have power in choosing what we will remember. When we think of the concept of stewardship, we normally think about our responsibility to look after the planet, or to use our money wisely, or to look after our bodies. But we also have stewardship of our mind and our memories and what we choose to remember. So there's a discipline to remembrance. And how are we doing that morning with that spiritual discipline? Are our thoughts and memories under control? Are we remembering the things that we need to remember? And what I'd like us to think about this morning is basically three questions about our remembrance and about our memory. And those questions are: what should we remember? Why should we remember it? And how should we remember it? So we'll begin with what we should remember. And I'd like to suggest that among many things that we need to remember, there are three really important things that we need to remember. Firstly, we need to remember God. Secondly, we need to remember what God has done for us. And thirdly, we need to remember what God has told us to do. So we'll start with the first one. We need to remember God. And that one is so obvious that you might think it almost goes without saying. But the reality is that we're not very good at it. All our problems stem from forgetting that God is there and turning our backs on him. The history of God's people is one of them continually forgetting God and having to be brought back to him. This is a particular problem when things are going well and God's people are materially rich. Going back to Deuteronomy, if you move on into chapter 8 in Deuteronomy, after the passage about binding God's law onto your arm and onto your head, it says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is why the children of Israel went to great lengths to try to remember him, binding the law on their foreheads and next to their hearts. As we go about our daily lives, at home, at work, out in the community, are we remembering God and that he is with us? Would our thoughts, our words, our actions indicate that we are remembering him or that we've forgotten him? When people watch us and observe us as we go about our daily lives, do they look at us and see that's somebody who is remembering God in the way that they speak to other people, in the way that they behave, in the way that they think about things? It's a challenging question, I think, certainly for me, and I'm sure for all of us here. So firstly, we need to remember God. Secondly, we need to remember what God has done for us. And this was mainly, I think, why I chose Psalm 103 to read, because it's such a fine expression of what God has done for us and what we need to remember about God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives your sins, he heals your diseases, he redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He does not treat you as your sins deserve, or repay you according to your iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. This one is crucial for us as Christians, because there is nothing that gives our present circumstances perspective like counting the blessings that God has already given to us. We used to sing, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So if we find that we're struggling and that we're finding life very difficult, then we need to remember what God has done, and that's what gives us courage to continue and to have the faith that he is able to help us in the present and in the future. And thirdly, we need to remember what God has told us to do. In John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And to obey God's teaching, we have to remember what it is. And that's why it's so important for us to spend time reading God's word and hearing it expounded in church week by week. But there's a difference between hearing the word and applying it to our lives. Do people around us recognize us as belonging to Jesus because of our obedience to him? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey, is another song that we often used to sing. And it's true that we need to remember God's commands so that we can obey him and find fulfillment in doing so. These are just some of the things that we are to remember. We could also talk about remembering the Sabbath, about remembering God's promises, about remembering our promises and commitments that we have made to him, remembering the poor as God does, and as some of us have been doing this weekend with the Show You Care event, remembering the example of the leaders that nurtured our faith as we were growing up. So many different things it's important for us to remember as God's people. But we need to move on to our next question, which is, why should we remember? And again, I want to offer three points. Firstly, because it will strengthen our faith. Secondly, because it will facilitate worship. And thirdly, because there's a close relationship between forgetting God and forsaking God. So firstly, it strengthens our faith. Cast your mind back to the story of David and Goliath in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel. And remember that when Goliath was standing there on the battlefield, all of the Israelites were terrified to go and face him and face his challenge to put up a champion to fight against him. But when David came up against Goliath, he didn't shy away like his fellow Israelites, overcome by fear at the giant in front of him. He focused on his memories of what God had already done for him. This is what he says. Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. As we go through life, it throws up lots of new circumstances and challenges, Goliaths that we have to face down, and our memories of God's past provision and strengthen our faith and help us to face down those challenges and those giants. And that's why it's so important to remember what God has done for us and that he's with us. Secondly, we need to remember because it will facilitate worship. Look at the way that David begins Psalm 103. He begins by telling himself to praise God. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And he does it twice, repeating himself in verse 2, praise the Lord, O my soul. Sometimes we don't feel very much like worshiping God, but worshiping God is an act of will. We choose what we will remember, his benefits, and we use that capacity to lift our spirits as we come together to worship God. Sometimes we make a mistake with worship, that we're here to be entertained and we're waiting for other people to make us feel God's presence or feel like worshiping God. But worship is a discipline. And we each have a responsibility to do what David did and tell ourselves to praise the Lord and to remember what he's done for us. And finally, in this point, why do we need to remember? We need to remember because there's a close relationship between forgetting God and forsaking God. When we forget that God is with us and what he's done for us, it's much easier to become discouraged when we face opposition or hardship. It's like the parable of the sower, the seed that falls among the thorns, and the cares and the worries of this life grow up and choke the word of God that's been planted in us. If we want to be good soil for God's word to grow in us, then we have to make the effort to cultivate our memory of God's word and all that he's done for us. And then we avoid the danger of forsaking him. How should we remember what God is and what God has done for us? As a teacher, I know that one of the most powerful ways of getting pupils to remember the things that we teach them in school is by giving them the opportunity to explain a concept to someone else. And William Glasser, an American psychiatrist, has told us from his research that we remember 10% of what we read, 20% of what we hear, 30% of what we see, 50% of what we see and hear, 70% of what we discuss, 80% of what we experience, and 95% of what we teach to others. And that's why if we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find God commanding not only that they should bind the laws to their heads and their arms, but to impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And I think that that's a recognition there that when we teach others, then not only do they benefit, but it's almost as much for ourselves and strengthening in ourselves the message that God has planted in us. It's very important that if we want to remember what God has done for us and we want to keep it in the forefront of our minds, that we share that with other people, not only for their benefit, but for strengthening that word in us. Then the second way that we can remember what God has done is to establish memorials, like the memorial that we had this morning in our worship for those who have died in war. When the Israelites crossed the Jordan and into Israel, Joshua sent a member of each tribe down into the riverbed to collect a stone. And these stones, these 12 big stones, were set up by the riverbank to remind them of how God had helped them. Joshua chapter 4, it tells us, in the future, Joshua says, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. In just a few moments, we're about to celebrate another memorial instituted by Jesus himself when he commanded us to eat bread and drink wine in memory of his sacrifice for us. And for us as Christians, that is the most significant thing that we do, to remember God and what he's done for us. There are many other ways that we can establish memorials, setting aside time each day to read God's word, listening to worship music that's steeped in the word of God that reminds us of what it says to us in the Bible. The memory verses that we've been learning each month in the family services. A couple of weeks ago at the evening service, Diana, who sits at the back of the church, gave me a cross to keep in my pocket, which is here, that she made. This is an object that I can keep in my pocket that's a reminder between myself and God of what he's done for me and that I belong to him. It's not important what these memorials or rituals are. What is important is that we are good stewards of our memories and we find things that work for us to remind us of all that God has done for us. And that we exercise the power that we have to choose what we remember. Let's pray. Our Father, help us to remember you, what you have done for us, what you have told us to do, so that our faith can be strengthened, our worship can be heartfelt and sincere, and that we do not forsake or forget you. Make us good stewards of our memories for your glory and for the establishment of your kingdom. Amen.